Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where, frankly, every day is new because every day in real estate is a freaking adventure. And today, I'm pleased to bring to you a miracle home agent, Brandi Underwood. Brandi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lee. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, and Happy New Year.
Yay! It's 2019, which means I can't believe we're almost 2020, which is weird to look ahead, so I'm not going to. So I'd love for you to tell our listeners where you're located, and I think you should tell them actually what a miracle agent is, because I don't know that I've had anybody talk about miracle homes on the show before.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, I am located out of a small town called Fair Oaks. It's a little subdivision right outside of Sacramento, but I do service Sacramento, El Dorado, and Placer counties, just to name a few. And a RE/MAX miracle agent is where we donate a portion of our commission on every transaction to Children's Miracle Network. One of our local partnering hospitals here is actually Children's Miracle Network at UC Davis. So a lot of our donation dollars from this RE/MAX office actually go to help local kids in Sacramento. And it's, you know, very near and dear to my heart since I am a parent as well. And it helps, you know, help our children.
And just know, people listening to this, there's actually research right now that says 82% of people prefer to do business with somebody who's charitably involved. So if you're doing something similar to supporting Children's Miracle Network and you are a business person, you should let your community know. And if you are a home buyer or seller or a regular normal consumer person, it's perfectly okay to ask, because I know that I make selections that way. And it's one of the reasons I wanted you to mention it, because it's a really big deal when you decide to spend your commission dollars in your community and not just on a new pocketbook. So with that being said, Brandi, you know the stories of the show. I mean, we like to talk about the things nobody else talks about, which is why everybody likes to listen to us to get the opinions from this side of the street. So tell our listeners that crazy thing that happened to you in your real estate life.
Okay, definitely. Yeah, I've had a lot of crazy ups and downs, but I would have to say that the most memorable and probably craziest unexpected thing happened to me around the holidays last year. So it's 2017. I was helping a sweet, sweet client, first time home buyer, and his wife, who I was actually previous coworkers with. So I knew them really well. They're really amazing people. They were looking for their first home. You know, like a lot of us, they had a limited budget. And so with that in mind, you know, we hit the streets with their pre-approval and were out looking at homes in some less than desirable neighborhoods. And we actually ended up finding one that his wife ended up being in love with. So her and I were the first to view the house. It was one day on the market. We were so excited. And this was kind of a time as well where you would have to rush out at dark to look at homes so that you could put in an offer on them. And you would be competing with 12 or 13 offers in that affordable price range as well. So we go through the house with our flashlights. There's nothing, you know, that we could pick out of the ordinary. We get into contract on the home. Finally, we beat out three other offers. I actually called the listing agent to confirm that they had received our offer. And had I not done that, my buyers would have not got the home since our offer originally went into spam. So agents, it's very important as well to be proactive in not only submitting the offer, but making sure that they receive it. So we're going through escrow. The buyers are using a lender that I hadn't worked a whole lot with, and it made me a little bit uncomfortable, but the buyer had trust with the lender. And so I said, okay, you know, why not? We'll take a page out of your book and we'll use your lender. Throughout the process, I think from the time we submitted the offer to the time we actually did our inspections was about 5 days. This would bring us to right around Thanksgiving time. This was our first time going back to the home, being that it was a holiday or close to the holiday. We went in with the home inspector and the first kind of signs of trouble started to pop up. So the first time back, we found squatters at the property who had damaged a lot of things at the property. So
were they actually there when you got there for the inspection?
Yeah, the squatters were there. It was a very early and cold November morning. Thankfully, my home inspector was able to get them out and get rid of them. But they had damaged the carpet. They had damaged doors. They had damaged windows. I mean, there was just stuff everywhere. There was even evidence of baby clothes, which made us even more uncomfortable with the situation.
All right, so look, people, I gotta interject something here. If you are one of my beloved Bleeding Heart listeners right now and you're feeling sorry for the squatters, I have to tell you, it's hard to feel sorry for squatters if they're in the house tearing it up. Now, if they had been there quietly, finding somewhere warm to stay and asking for help, I'm pretty sure we'd have a different belief right now. But, I mean, come on, man. Why do you tear somebody's house up and bring a baby into it? What's wrong with that?
Right. We probably would have let them stay if they wouldn't have damaged stuff.
Exactly. So. There would have been a solution, but they were tearing it up.
Right. And they were making the inspector pretty uncomfortable as well. So he had asked them to leave. We, you know, completed the inspection. We secured the house. The listing side was actually like an investment group. So they were pretty, you know, on top of it. They had contractors and things like that that could get the work done pretty quickly. And so before our inspector actually completed the inspection, I made sure to check with Mrs. Buyer and Mr. Buyer that they were okay with, you know, purchasing the home that had now been damaged, and also explaining to them that the damage would be fixed. So we continued on, and needless to say, at every inspection that we did at this house, there was a new squatter and there was a new problem with the house from
same people kept coming back, or different squatters?
Different squatters, and then also some of the same. There had been some vacant homes that were also on this street that the squatting community had all, I guess, gotten hip to the fact that they were all vacant. So they would just kind of change around and damage different stuff each day at the property.
So it's a gang of squatters.
Yeah. It's pretty much a gang of squatters.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. It was really, really bizarre. Every day, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer would drive by the home on their way to work, you know, being very anxious and wanting to make sure that their property was secured. They would commonly, what we call in this area, do a nuisance call. So when we call the police to let them know that there's squatters or that there's a vacant property that's causing a problem, so that the police go out and secure the property and then make sure, you know, that the squatters have left.
I've got to ask you, with this level of stuff, because you said, you know, you walked in and found some things with the inspector. Yeah. I was kind of expecting, like, you know, a broken window, a broken pipe, not this gang of squatters. What in the world conversation happened between you and this buyer that they decided to move forward? Do they believe in the community and they want to be part of revitalizing it? Or what's their why on moving forward? Because I would have freaked out, I think.
Yeah, I think initially Mrs. Buyer was a little bit freaked out, but Mr. Buyer was, you know, dead set on, we're part of revitalizing the community. It's an older home. It's been beautifully restored. I mean, and it is and was a beautiful, beautiful, fully remodeled, beautiful home with a beautiful lot. It just, you know, it happened to be in an area where revitalization is actually currently still taking place as well. So I was a little bit uneasy, but I just wanted them to make the call that they were sure that they were okay going into this, and they knew that everything that they were getting into, since every time we went to the property, there was something new that was damaged, from doors and windows being ripped off to cabinets and things like that being damaged. But the seller's agents were pretty awesome about reassuring us that everything would be brand new once they moved in.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. When you said it was an investment group selling the house, I immediately assumed they would be saying, well, deal with it as is. But you said they immediately corresponded and made things right. So kudos to them for being amazing sellers with a communicative agent. And shame on me for making assumptions.
I know. I do the same thing, Lee, especially in the future here. If I come across this investment group, I might actually be a little bit more inclined to not work with them leading down the road, even though they were really easy to work with and really easy to fix things, because the property just kept having problems. There was some liens on title that needed to be cleared before, obviously, the lender could record. So we were working on getting all the liens cleared. A lot of the liens had to do with the property being a nuisance property. So when they report it, then kind of a lien goes against the parcel number. So we can't record and fund and close until those are dealt with. A really, really long and torturous escrow about 45 days later. It was right around Christmas time. We finally got the clear to close from our title agent. We record on the property. The county gives us a recording confirmation that the home is now the buyer's property. So I head out to the property like I've done many times before. I was prepared to grab the keys out of the lockbox. And as soon as I arrive at the property, I notice that there's all these red and white signs that are now stuck to the window. And so as I approach the house, I'm looking for any sign of, you know, a county inspector, a policeman, something like this has got to be a mistake, right? These signs can't be for our house because they say that the home is now condemned and it's not safe to occupy. So I get on the phone really quickly. I tried to call the county. I tried to call anybody that I could reach to figure out where these signs had come from and who the enforcement agency was. At that time, I now have Mrs. Buyer calling me on the other line because she had went by the property on her lunch to find these signs saying that the home is now condemned and it is not safe to occupy. So she wants to know what's going on since they just recorded. I've never had this happen to me, so I call my title rep naturally and I ask him, you know, is there something, is this our, you know, there's got to be, our title insurance needs to protect us against it. And he says, no, it doesn't protect us because there was no lien. So the county must be incorrect. So yeah, so I waited at the property for an hour. I finally got a hold of someone from the county that had come out. I guess he was a county inspector, and he asked me to let him inside the property. So I let him inside the property. Him and I are there. I'm begging with him, pleading with him. My buyers are going to be homeless. You know, it's 5 days before Christmas. Is there anything that we can do to help expedite the process? I don't understand how this even closed. And he says, yeah, I mean, I need to see your certificate proof of recording. And so I showed it to him in my email and he goes, well, there's no possible way because I've already recorded a lien on the parcel and there's no way that this could have closed. Your lender is wrong. And I said, oh, yeah. So I was so frustrated and I figured, okay, well, let's resolve this together. And I asked him what his, here in Sacramento, we call them APNs, or our slang term for them is APN. So I asked him really quickly, well, what is your APN? What's your parcel number? What are you showing? And he says, oh, I don't know. It looks like there's two different parcel numbers. So long story short, he ran back to the county office and he said, I will call you when I get back to the building department. Let me research these permits. So he called me when he got back and he said, you know what? Brandy, the county is wrong, and they recorded the nuisance and the liens on the wrong parcel number.
Well, now, wait, let me put my surprise face on, because county departments don't ever do things wrong.
I know, right? I know. Well, and when I had been at the property with this inspector, he had then went inside with me and started to call out other things that he wanted to put on the original complaints. So he started adding items in the home to his laundry list that he now needed a permit for. And he was not going to let us occupy or even have the keys to this home until all of these problems basically were rectified.
I mean, did he realize that if he doesn't let your people move in, this whole gang of squatters is going to keep moving in?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And he said, you know, he realized that. And, you know, I really tried to level with him. And then also, you know, use tears as a negotiating tactic. But unfortunately, he was a newer inspector to the county, and he wasn't having it.
Throwing his weight around. Throw away that county inspector weight. That's big power, boy.
I know. Well, he was the one that was out there with the bulletproof vest, not me. So it just, you know, he's leaving little old me out there to clean up the problems. And so I had the unfortunate news of calling Mr. Buyer and Mrs. Seller and letting them know what had happened. They were pretty beside themselves because at that point, Lee, they were going to be homeless. They had naturally, you know, signed off their lease, and they were preparing to have a moving truck come and deliver their furniture to the property at 5 p.m. that night.
I don't like him at all.
No, we definitely did not like him. So Mrs. Buyer decided that she would try to help out. And since agency at this point had ended, it meant that I no longer represented their best interest. Naturally, just being the human that I am, I will do anything and everything in my power that I can to help them. So it's not, you know, like I left the buyers high and dry and said, well, good luck. I was going to help them figure out a solution as well. So Mrs. Buyer went down to the county building office and was there for about 3 hours. She resorted to the same tactics, tears, crying, anything that we could do to help them understand that they weren't going to have a place to live. And they were now also due to pay a mortgage on a home that they could not live in. Everybody at the county was not helpful, needless to say. They realized where the mistake had went, and they had, you know, rectified it. And now we had a new laundry list of things that the county would require in order for the new homeowners to actually be able to occupy the home, nothing short of them ripping out the entire kitchen and bathroom to redo everything inside the home. So,
good gosh.
Yeah. So the poor buyers, thank goodness in this case, you know, the sellers were an investment group. They were pretty upset with the county, but they knew that they needed to make it right. Thank goodness for these buyers. And we just kept going toe to toe for months, really, with the county and trying to clear everything and anything that this inspector just started adding to the home that he wanted a permit for. He said this needed to be fixed, that needed to be fixed. So basically, long and short, they went in and they basically redid the entire house from the studs to the fireplace to everything, the electrical, the windows, the doors. I mean, everything was redone. And finally, about 3.5 months after this nightmare began, the buyers were finally able to have the last permit signed off on, and they were able to move into their house 4 months later.
Well, you won't say it, but I'm going to say that county inspector's an ass.
Yeah, he definitely was. And he was not forgiving or helpful in the sense that, you know, we understood that he wanted to protect their safety, But this just really came down to a matter of him being asinine and wanting to stick it to the listing side for not pulling the appropriate permits to begin with.
Okay, so obviously this story is more intense than many others that have smaller details going on, but and thank you, listeners, because this is one of our longer episodes, but you can see why. It's a crazy situation we have. I got to give you a lot of kudos, Brandy, because realtors take a lot of heat for not doing anything.
Yeah.
I bet if you calculated the number of hours you spent on this house, your pay scale would be far below minimum wage, but you did not stop in your efforts to make sure that your clients had somebody looking out for them, because their frustration level must have been 10 times what yours was as a professional.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, still to this day, there's still little things here and there that, you know, they contact me about that they still have to actually deal with the ramifications of when they purchase this house. So it could go on for a lifetime, and I'm not the one that has to live there. And so, you know, me listening to them and helping them through any situation is the least I could do, I figure, especially in such a horrific situation like this.
And I will say, though, friends, when you hear people out there advertise that they want to be your realtor for life, this is really not what we mean. And we're glad to be here for you in the drama, but realtor for life generally means we want to help you with different houses over the course of your life. But go you, Brandy, and I'm glad that your clients had you in their corner, because it's an intense situation where you spend that much time managing somebody else's expectations. And when you fight City Hall, only City Hall wins.
That's true. That is very, very true. And they were lucky that Mr. Buyer, he's pretty tenacious as well, but we weren't going away lightly and we weren't taking no for an answer. So,
all right. So considering all of this, are they happy now that they're moved in, by the way? Do they love the house and the community?
Yes, they are very happy. They love the house, and the revitalization in the community is going really well. So they're actually really happy with their choice.
So there you go, people. Just when you think everything's going to work out okay, just because you went to closing does not mean everything's over. And that's exactly why you need a very tenacious and savvy realtor in your corner who's brave enough to go to a house without a bulletproof vest on, even when the city has to have one. Because that's my big takeaway, is that realtors don't need bulletproof vests because we have capes. But we do have to be safe, though. And notice that when Brandy was at this house, she was with other humans, because in areas that are going through transition, your safety as a realtor professional has to be considered. And buyers and sellers, we consider your safety as well as our own. Now, Brandy, if somebody's looking for an amazing professional realtor who obviously can get anything done, how can they find you in your various parts of California?
So my cell phone number is the easiest way to reach me, which is 916 area code 792-2635. Or you can email me at Brandy with an I, sells, cahomes@gmail.com.
And it's okay, people. We know you're still sitting there slack-jawed at the idea of a gang of squatters, too, and you didn't write anything down. But it's okay, because all of Brandy's information is in the show notes for this episode. So you can access it and call her with any of your real estate needs in the Sacramento area and surrounding. Brandy, thank you so much for not only coming on the podcast, but for being such a positive and wonderful representative of what exactly it is to be an amazing realtor. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Lee. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you and bringing the, you know, wonderful content and crazy stories of our real estate life to the public. So
it's a great life we have, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. We never have a dull moment.
All right, guys, if you're listening and you're a realtor, investor, inspector, broker, lender, or a regular average person in the world who wants to share your own crazy story about real estate, hit me up at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the networks to be featured in a future episode. Subscribe for more, because you will never frankly know what you're going to hear, and we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.